Hello, this is Pastor Travis from Unity Church Magnolia. We want to thank you for joining us today for this week's podcast. We pray that it will encourage you and strengthen you for your journey with Christ. We hope to see you soon. God bless you as you listen.
All right, I'm going to jump into this. Everybody say the word atmosphere. Is there not a good atmosphere here this morning? There's such a good atmosphere here this morning. And I'm thankful for that. I want to start by reading 1 Kings 8, 10 through 11. And it says, when the priest came out of the holy place, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priest could not continue their service because of the cloud. For the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that your word will speak straight to our spirit today, God, that you will bypass all the things that cloud our minds, cloud our attention, God. And I pray that you'll speak directly to spirit and that you will change our lives today in Jesus' name. Everybody shouted, amen. It says, when the priest came out of the holy place, how many of you know that we should be spending some time in the holy place of God? What's the holy place, Pastor? Well, it's simply the place where God manifests his presence to us. For some of you, that could be found in a closet where you're all alone. For some of you, it could be found in the car as you're driving down the road. I don't know about you, but I've had some pretty good times with Jesus while I'm going down the road. And so what you want to do is make sure that you stay alert to your surroundings when you're driving down the road, right? But there needs to be somewhere where you can truly connect with God and you can sense his presence in your life. You need to be spending some time in the holy place of God. We talked about the cloud. We talked about the cloud of his presence last week and what that really looked like and what it means to experience that. And we talked about at the end of the service last week how many Christians smell like smoke when they were meant to burn. Moses burned for God, and Joshua learned to smell like smoke, but eventually Joshua had to learn how to burn for himself, right? Eventually, Joshua had to learn how to go into the presence of God and get a word from God. And I think that there are many times Christians all over the United States are depending on the pastor to go into the tent of meeting and to go into the holy place and get a word from God. And there are Christians who are hanging around the outer courts waiting to hear the voice of God through the pastor. But can I tell you that God does not only speak to the pastor or to the man on TV or to the person on the radio. What God is waiting for is for you to go into the Holy of Holies and say, God, I need a word. God, I need a word from you. What do you have to say to me today? And listen, I want to encourage you every day of your life, go into the Holy of Holies. Don't take the presence of God for granted. Go into the Holy of Holies. And the Bible says it is in the Holy of Holies, the courts of the Most High God, that you can make your requests known to God. You know, the problem is we say, I've been praying, Pastor, for 30 years for this thing. The problem is maybe you've been praying from the outer courts. Nowhere in the Word does it say you can go into the outer courts and make your request known to the Lord. It says go straight into the throne room of God, the presence of God with boldness. Maybe we have not had our request answered because we have not yet tapped into the presence of God. Here's the deal. The presence of God is free because of the cross of Calvary, but many times we don't make the journey to experience the presence. I think it's interesting, very interesting, that once a year the people of God would have to travel to Jerusalem to make their requests known to God. They had to make a journey. And many times we just want to kick our feet back in our lazy boy and expect God to be our genie in the bottle when God is saying, hey, I want to give you the desires of your heart. But are you willing to make the journey into the holy place, to the presence of God? It's free because of Calvary, but it may take a journey. You got it? All right. Very good. I can move on, I think. So, we talked about the manifest presence of God, the glory of God, how your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, and now the Holy of Holies is found within, and you've got to tap into that, and you've got to spend some time in the Word. You say, how do I make the journey? Maybe you ought to open your Bible. You might have to blow the dust off of it first, but maybe you ought to open your Bible and read it. Oh, man. Pastor, I got a Bible in every room in the house. Yep. But if you lift it up, if you pick it up, you can still see it laying there. Okay. I'm done. Or maybe you ought to learn how to hit your knees and say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, who is the name above all names. And your word says that I can boldly approach the throne room of grace. So as I come, I'm going to come as you taught me to and say, our Father who art in heaven, you are a good, good Father. You are holy and righteous and mighty. You are powerful and strong. You're the creator. You see, God likes to be buttered up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You're the creator of the universe. You measure the universe with the span of your hand, God. You are a big God. And you know exactly what's going on in my life. Now let us spend some time together. Sometimes we need to learn that we can just hit our knees. You used to hear in the olden days the word tarry a lot. Man, I grew up in an Assembly of God church. Boy, we heard tarry just about every week. And on Super Bowl Sunday, we were going to tarry extra long. every year, we're just going to tarry before the Lord tonight. Tarry onto my house, right? And so, no, I'm just kidding. Learn to tarry, man. I used to hear stories about grandparents and people who would wear holes in the floor next to their bed where they would sit and they would rock and they would cry out to God. I used to hear stories about my grandpa who would lock himself in his room, never come out, man, and fast and pray and seek the face of God. And the deal is God was operating in signs, wonders, and miracles in his life. People would come to his house for money and they would leave healed. I mean, God was manifesting in power through his life, but it's because he learned how to tap into the holy place. Somebody say, I want the atmosphere of God's glory. So we're talking about how to maintain an atmosphere of glory. We've talked about people last week. This week we're going to talk about prayer. Creating an atmosphere of prayer in our lives. And the importance of prayer. And parents, I want to remind you that even though life is busy, you've got a lot of things going on, life can be hectic, and sometimes it's hard to sit down with our kids and pray. But if you don't teach them how to pray, I can promise you that the school system's not going to. And we can't train your kids to pray on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. You need to be modeling prayer for your young people, or we're going to raise up a generation who does not know how to access the presence of God. It's important, folks. Make prayer a priority in your life. Can somebody say amen? Now, I'm just speaking from my heart this morning. 1 Thessalonians, I'm not even going to be very long because I just want you to hear my heart on this. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, always be joyful. Now, I had to find this scripture because I had blacked that part out. In my Bible, you know, I like to highlight my Bible, and sometimes I use Sharpie. Always be joyful. There's giggles going around the room. Took a minute. Never stop praying. Be thankful. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So let's break this down, okay? So always be joyful. I've met some of those people. Some of them freak me out a little bit, but it's okay. Always be joyful. What does that mean? That means that we quit giving the license to our joy to the enemy. If the enemy knows he can steal your joy, he knows that he's going to steal your effectiveness in prayer. Because if we can't go to God with a heart of gladness, and our next part here, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances. You see, many times when we're trying to cultivate an atmosphere of prayer, we began to create a routine of prayer. But what we've got to make sure that we're doing is we're not going to God and complaining about everything in our lives. God, you know that boss I've got. You know that wife I've got. You know that kid I've got. You know, we start sounding like the Israelites when we go into the prayer closet complaining about every little thing in our life. You know how my feet hurt. You know, both of my feet hurt. And ain't nobody got time for all that. And, you know, and all this stuff. And we go and we start complaining. Complaining to God, but that's not what God said. He said, I want you to be thankful. When you come to me in prayer, why don't you start, God, I thank you that I have 2 feet. They might both hurt, but I got 2 feet and they work, you know, and we began to change our attitude of the things that are going on in our life and the circumstances that we're going through. We began to change our attitude and we learned to be thankful. And we began to approach, you know what, whenever my kids come and approach me, things go a lot differently. Whenever they come in and they're like, oh, Dad, I can't believe I had to take out the trash. That is the worst, man. You know? I can't believe you. Oh, I got to make my bed, really? Oh, Dad, you know, you don't know what it's like. That's why we go to God. God, you don't know what it's like to be down here. You know, and we come to God like that, you know. But when my kids come in with a smile on their face, it's not a big disgrace, right? And they come in and they're happy and they say, hey, Dad, I was just wondering, blah 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 blah, and they got a good attitude or whatever, you know. Then things go a little bit different. Right? Okay, so we need to be able to cultivate an atmosphere of prayer in our life that is pleasing to God. Because can I tell you, not all prayer is pleasing to God. Oh, boy. Sometimes I think God's up there saying, why don't you go tell Buddha all this? Okay. He might not. I don't know. I do that. I'm like, go talk to your mama. I don't know. You know, hey, you know, go talk to Holy Spirit about that. You know, this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. He wants us to cultivate an atmosphere of prayer in our life that is pleasing to Him. Okay, so here's the deal. Prayer is not a routine. It's a lifestyle. Prayer is not a routine. It is truly a lifestyle. It says pray without ceasing. That means that whenever you're at work, you still have an atmosphere of prayer. God, I'm doing this for you. Tell me every time you swing that hammer, man, it's for God. God, you know, even when it's hard. Man, I'm going to build this house. I'm not building this house for my boss. I'm not building this house for my owner. I'm building this house for the Most High God, because the Word says everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. So God, every time I swing that hammer, every time I clean a floor, every time I have to set up the cafe for a funeral, every time, you know, everything. And so wherever we're at, the work or church or home, you know what? We're not different people wherever we go, and we're not allowing the atmosphere to change us. We are now changing the atmosphere. Because whenever you can maintain an atmosphere of prayer, then you began to change the atmosphere of wherever you're at. That's when people began to say, man, there is something different about Angela. You know why? Because she's learned to be joyful, and she's learned to be thankful, and she's learned how to maintain an atmosphere of God's presence in her life. Okay, so it's a lifestyle. Is prayer a priority in your life? I think that's the big question. Is prayer a priority in your life? And so we just had this discussion Wednesday night in small groups. Man, it was so good. It is so good. In fact, the rest of this series, I'm telling you, God really laid this series on my heart. So I'm going to plead with you this morning. I'm going to have to finish this series on Wednesday nights because I don't have another Sunday here in the next couple of weeks to finish this. And I've got something new that I'm wanting to start the first of next month. So I'm going to be finishing this series on Wednesday nights. You need to be here on Wednesday nights. It's midweek. I know you worked all day, but we provide a meal for you. You can come in and eat. You know, you can come in and eat and have fellowship. It really builds your faith for the rest of the week. And it brings encouragement. And, you know, we offer two, a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night. You know, we could go back to New Testament, early church. And we would just do it every day, all right? And so, but I'm telling you, it is powerful. The words that God is, I'm not bragging. Because God gave them to me. I can't take credit, right? But the words that God has given me for Wednesday night have been powerful. And the small group discussions have been really, really good. And so I want to encourage you. But we talked about, well, when's the best time to pray? When's the best time to be in the Word? When's the best time to spend with God? And many people have different theories on that. Some people say, well, nighttime's the best, or the middle of the day is the best, or the morning is the best. And I'm not here to set up a rigid routine for you this morning. But I do know this. If you're waiting until the end of your day to spend time with God, then really what he's getting is the leftovers. And I can back that up all throughout the Word. And so, if you're not giving God the first, you know, he requires the first and the best. And so, whenever I spend time with God first thing in the morning, you know what happens? I'm spending time with him before my mind has become tainted by the things of this world. By news and people and situations and circumstances and bills and things that need to be done and all this stuff and all the things that took place that day, I'm giving God the best part of my day before all that. You know what his word says? His mercies are refreshed or renewed to us every what? Morning. It did not say night. It happens in the morning to prepare us for the day. Right? And he gives us enough grace and mercy for that day. But if we're not spending time with him in the morning, then he's not getting our first. And he's not getting our best. He's getting our leftovers. So the question is prayer a priority? Is spending time with God the most important thing in our lives? Now, I really believe that God is wanting to develop a lifestyle of fasting within his church again. Because fasting is not an event. Fasting is also a lifestyle. It was an event more in the old covenant, but it's more of a lifestyle in the new covenant. And so I've already been on two fasts this year, and tomorrow I begin a new one. Not because I'm trying to be holy or righteous or anything like that. I just need to discipline myself to make God's presence priority in my life. So I'm not asking God for anything supernatural or for a word from God or for him to instruct me in my life. I'm trying to get my body back under control. And until that happens, I'm willing to do whatever it takes because I want his presence to be priority in my life. It's not in a bragging way. And I'm not asking you all to go on a fast with me tomorrow, but I am asking, are you willing to do whatever it takes to make his presence priority For you, it may not be a fast. It may be something else. It may be getting up early in the morning. It may be doing something. But whatever it takes, make prayer a priority. Look at somebody and say, make prayer a priority in your life. Now, we're going to end with a story with Daniel this morning. Daniel was a man of prayer. Obviously, if you mention prayer in the Word, I think of Daniel in his chapter 6, verse 10. We know that God's people have been taken into captivity, and they're in Babylon, right? And Daniel has his friends and those around him are being changed by the culture of the Babylonians. But Daniel and a few friends got together and said, not us. I think it's time for the church to rise up and say, the culture may be changing, but not me. I think we need to begin to stand for what's right and quit bowing down to the demands of the culture. And culture will always change. Culture will always change. But the moment you allow it to change you, we have fallen. But Daniel and his friends got together and they were not me. It says, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, because remember, in the Babylonians, and there were some men who became fearful of Daniel and intimidated, and they tricked the king into signing a law that forbid prayer to any god. It says, he went home, knelt down. My favorite words in this passage are the next two words, as usual. He went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open towards Jerusalem, and he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. What, man, what a powerful, life-changing portion of Scripture. It's not that when things got hard, Daniel decided, oh, it might be time to pray. Daniel said, I'm just going to go about life as usual. And because I have developed a lifestyle of prayer, I'm not going to let any laws or any demands that have been made by the culture to change who I am. I am a man of prayer. Some of the church needs to rise up and say, I am a man of prayer. I am a woman of prayer. And I don't care what the government or the school system or people say about me. I am going to remain a man or a woman of prayer. But what we do in the United States is we allow some tragedy to strike or some need to be presented or something to happen in our government. And we say, oh, maybe the church ought to come together and pray. You think, how much more powerful would it be if whenever tragedy hits our nation, the church is not moved by it? The reason we're shaken and moved is because we have not formed a foundation of prayer. And we're like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Well, maybe we need to, well, I don't know, what are we going to do? But when tragedy struck and times got hard for Daniel, he said, you know what? I'm just going to do what I always do. I pray. I'm going to pray. Here's what I believe. The closer you get to God, the harder the devil fights. Right? Anybody believe me? Got a witness up in here? Right? However, the closer you get to God, the less the devil can move you. Oh, yeah, he's going to fight. He's going to scream. He's gonna fight. He's gonna shoot the arrows, man. He's gonna send his legion to torment you, and the principality of this region will fight against you. There's no doubt. But I can tell you this, the closer you get to God, the firmer your foundation becomes and the less movable you become. And so Daniel's like, okay, they signed the law. Big whoopee deal. I'm going to go home just like I always have. I'm not going to change anything. I'm not going to be arrogant. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to sign a petition. I'm not, you know, Daniel didn't go to his buddies and say, okay, guys, you know, this new law is passed. We need to get a petition together and we need to sign it. We need to boycott. No, Daniel said, I'm going to do the same thing I have always done, because there will never be power in petition. There will never be power in schemes and marketing, but there will always be power in prayer. And if you have developed a lifestyle of prayer, then you don't have to be moved by the things that happen in this world. And I can tell you, the closer we get to the end, the more the worse things are going to become, because the darker the days, the lighter the bright shines. And so what we need is we need some people who are burning in the atmosphere of prayer, who will stand and not be moved, who will begin to shine as lights in the darkness. Instead of becoming fearful and angry and hateful. Well, Pastor, what are we going to do about the homosexuals? I've been asked this question. I've been asked, what are we going to do, Pastor? I mean, you know, this homosexual agenda, they're getting, you know, I mean, they're bold. You know what? We do what God said. Love God. Love people. He did not say, love God and love everybody but the homosexuals. We love God and we love people. But you only get to that in an atmosphere of prayer. Because I promise you, if you spend some time with God and you tap into the presence of God and you tap into the glory of God, you know what the things you're going to hear? He's going to say things like this: for God so loved the world, the entire world, that he gave his one and only son. And listen, you're going to hear some things that I am not willing that any should perish. It will change the atmosphere of the church if the church can develop an atmosphere of prayer. Can somebody say amen? I know this message isn't light this morning. It's not a message somebody's going to jump up and wave a hanky and jump up on the organ. But I can tell you, if you can learn how to hit your knees and begin to cry out to God in prayer, God, I cry out for revival in my city. I cry out for revival in my country. God, I cry out for the salvation of those who are in authority over me, God. Bless them, God. Bless their families, God. Bless my children, God. Let them be men and women of God. Then I can guarantee you that that atmosphere of prayer will be accompanied with an atmosphere of power. And things will begin to take place in your life. Things will begin to happen because you've tapped into the atmosphere of God's glory. He just continued life as usual. Skip down to verse 21. Daniel gets caught praying just like he always had, and was brought before the king. And it says when he was confronted, he said, Daniel answered, long live the king. Not if we could get rid of that president. And them people in Congress, oh my gosh, or that mayor, right? Long live the king. Because Daniel understood the heart of God, because he had spent time with God. That you're going to pray for all those in authority over us. I can't wait to get to heaven and say, Daniel, what were you praying? I just want to know. What were you praying? And I can almost guarantee you, he's saying, God, touch the heart of our king. Bless him, God. Help him. I can't wait. I can't guarantee it, but I can't wait to hear. And that's going to be, well, man, I can't wait to ask Daniel, just tell me what you are praying. My God sent his angels to shut the lion's mouths. so that they would not hurt me. Daniel's thrown in a pit of lions for praying. We think it's bad. We think it's bad now. Thrown in a pit of lions for praying. Hungry lions who had not been fed. Daniel, how did this happen? Let me tell you, long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, my majesty. I have respected you. I have honored you. But more than I honor you, I honor the King of Kings. You may be the king, but I know the King of Kings. And all I did as I've always done and access the atmosphere of God's presence. Can I tell you this? You want protection from the enemy? You don't know why the enemy's hitting you on the left and right and knocking you down and knocking you out. And you know, it's just, every time I feel like I get knocked down by the enemy, Well, let me tell you, if you can learn to plant your feet in the foundation of prayer, pray in the Word of God, man, things will begin to change in your life. I believe that there are good programs out there that can bring you freedom. I believe in them. They're tested and proven. But without prayer, they're not going to be effective. You take a good program and couple it with a good prayer, and man, things begin to happen. Right? Things begin to happen. So Daniel learned how to pray, and he maintained an atmosphere of prayer. And when hard times came, he just continued to pray. He was in the lion's den. God protected him from the lion. And then in chapter 9, Daniel prays again. Daniel's people are in trouble, right? People of God in captivity, in trouble, hard times, hard times. And you can read through there and all the details and all that. And Daniel prays and asks God for help. And he really cries out to God. And he makes his request known to God. And in this story, we know that the archangel of God came to fight in Daniel's behalf. And an angel was coming to minister to the prayers of Daniel. And he got held up in the heavenlies, the Bible teaches us. And Michael and Gabriel and all, man, they're going to war in the heavenlies, and the things are happening. And he came to fight the prince of Persia who was coming against that region. But eventually the angel got to Daniel. And he said, hey, I know you've been praying. Your prayers have not been unanswered. I got held up. I had to take care of some business in the heavenly realms. And listen, sometimes our prayers don't get answered right when we want them to. God's busy. God's busy. Now listen to me. God's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's all powerful. He can do anything he wants to. And God is also the commander of angel armies. The angel armies are not omnipresent. Now listen to me. This is a little bit of deep teaching for Sunday morning. I know. Angel armies, the angels of heaven, are not omnipresent. They cannot be everywhere at once. But we want God to come in with his angel armies, and they're doing all this stuff, right? And we're like, God, you know, it's like sometimes our kids do, right? You know, it's like, Daddy, I need you to charge my iPhone. My iPhone, Daddy, you know, it's on 3%, Dad. I need to charge my iPhone. I'm like, can't you see I'm bandaging a bleeding arm? But Daddy, my iPhone's on 3%. What am I gonna do? I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna die. I'm gonna lose my progress in Panda Pop. My kids really don't do this. But I bet you it happens, right? That's how we are with God. God, I want you to stop everything you're doing. I want you to stop everything that's going on in the heavenlies. And listen, your request is important to him. And he's going to answer your request. And all he has to do is say a word. But sometimes we have to wait for it. And you know what I found out is when we have to wait for it, It's always for our benefit. God doesn't make us wait to be mean or hateful, but he makes us wait sometimes because sometimes the answer is found in the waiting. But I can guarantee you this, that when you cultivate an atmosphere of prayer, things do happen. Things do happen. Things change when we cultivate an atmosphere of prayer. And in closing, I want to say this. It's so important that we learn how to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Worship team, if you'll come. So I want to give you some practical things to maybe help you begin to cultivate an atmosphere of prayer in your life. Number one, you just got to start. You just have to start. Well, Pastor, I don't know how. Just start. Just start. It can be real simple. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. That's how we're taught to pray, right? Jesus is the door. We come to you in the name of Jesus, and I don't know how to pray. How about that? We start there. God, I don't know how to pray. Will you teach me? And then maybe find some scriptures and just begin to pray that. God, your word says, that's safe. Your word says that I'm the head and I'm not the tail. And you want me to be above and not beneath. And God, today I feel like I'm beneath and I need your help, right? Hey, I've even done this. Find you a good worship song. God, you're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. You're a good, good father. Sometimes that's all it takes. Or just, you are good, good. Oh, that's prayer. It's not just praise, it's prayer. You're talking to God. God, you're good. And you start there and let God develop prayer in your life. And then you begin to develop a routine. So you just got to start and then you got to develop a routine. I would encourage you, Daniel set 3 times a day. He set time aside to talk one-on-one with God. Develop a routine of prayer. Now we have, you're like, well, I don't like, no, come on. You, all of us, we get up, our routines may be a little different. We put on our deodorant, hopefully. We brush our teeth, hopefully, and, you know, or take a shower or whatever, and we get ready. Many of us have a better routine on when we make coffee than when we pray, right? And so we want to develop a routine of prayer in our life. Thirdly, just be consistent. Be consistent. I found as I've gotten older, I'm not old, but I've gotten older, I found that my body is pretty consistent at going to the bathroom about 3 o'clock in the morning, right? I don't know if anybody's with me, but I mean, it's like 3 o'clock. I always say 3 o'clock, hit the pot, right? Okay. We develop routines and we get consistent. You know what consistent is very similar to? Faithful. Old faithful. You know what? I don't care if God says anything else about me when I get to heaven. As long as he says, man, you are faithful. Good and faithful servant. So just ask yourself this question this morning. Not beating up on you, just trying to encourage you. Is God... Now, I know he knows all things, but go with me here. Is God sitting on his throne saying, man, I wonder if Verna's going to talk to me today. I wonder if she's going to stop and talk to me today. Or is God sitting on his throne saying, man, 5:59, 1 minute, Robert's coming to talk to me. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I guarantee you, if Mikey thinks Jasmine's going to call him, His phone is not on silent or do not disturb or left in his car. He's got that joker in his hand waiting. Oh, I've seen him. And then sometimes you're just like, let's go have it. There it is. Right? Are we like that with God? Or can I ask you this? Is Holy Spirit like that with us? Is he saying, man, he's about to talk to me. He's about to talk to me. Man, I can't wait. Because I can promise you that God created you to have fellowship with him. And he is waiting for you to become consistent in communication with him. Number four, be organized. Be organized. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God is a God of order. He's a God of order. Be organized. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't make you religious. It just means you put some thought behind the prayer. Number five, set some goals. I want to pray for 5 minutes today. I want to pray for 10 minutes today. I want to pray for 30 minutes today. I want to tithe on my day in prayer. Whatever, you know, set some goals in prayer. And number six, when you pray, make sure that you spend some time praying the Word of God. When you pray the Word of God, you're praying right. When you pray the Word of God, you're praying right. Can somebody say amen? Would you stand with me this morning?
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this week's podcast. If you were blessed by the message today, please join us by visiting us at ucmagnolia.com. You can see what's going on, you can give online, and you can be a part of what God's doing at Unity Church Magnolia. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.